think everybody in here is probably tired, wore out, and I want to respect that. And I am too. I'm tired. My muscles is tired. My body's tired. My wife, she's sick and tired of me. So Isaiah 32:17. That was supposed to be funny, honey. I nobody laughed, but thank you, Stephen. Listen to what the Bible says. We'll try to cover a few things tonight. The Bible says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace." The work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. That's pretty good, ain't it? And then he said, "And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." Good passage. Look at Romans 8:16, please. Boy, I'd mark that one right there down. Now, let me say this. What is the work of righteousness? What, somebody repeat it to me. Let's go over it. Repetitious. What is the work of righteousness? Good. That's the effect of it. That's going to get there. Peace. "And the work of righteousness shall be peace." Who are the righteous, ladies and gentlemen? Those that's been born again. So what he's trying to say is that people that are born again have this working of peace inside of them. God is working peace inside the heart, the soul, the bosom of a believer. That's the work of the righteous. And we're righteous because he that knew no sin was made sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so we had this work in us. If you're a child of God tonight, you'll have the work of righteousness in you, which is peace. And the effect of your righteousness. What effect does this righteousness have on me? What kind of effect does being saved have on a person's life? He said it's going to be quietness and assurance forever. Not just like that, amen, because that's the Bible. People want to talk about assurance and how do you know, and man, I don't believe in that. Let me tell you what he said. He said the effect of righteousness in a man, if God ever saves you, it's going to have an effect, and that effect will be assurance forever. It's going to be a quietness. He said there's a quietness. What is that? That's a calming. That's a peacefulness. That's the absence of turmoil and chaos and just a bunch of mess, trouble in your soul. And he said that's where a saved person will be. That's what'll be going on in their heart, in their mind. Look at Romans 8:16, please. I hooped and hollered in here Sunday like a wild man for a solid 45, 50 minutes. And we talked about people doubting and having assurance. And we talked about, you know, the evidences of a work of grace in people's life. And so we talk about it quite a bit. And I just wanted to look at some of it tonight and slow down and look at it in the scriptures. Romans chapter 8. Verse 16 says this, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." It's pretty good. You say, how can I know? How can I have this assurance? Because the Spirit itself, ain't you glad that that the Bible makes sense all the way through? He didn't say the Spirit himself. Wonder why he didn't say the Spirit himself. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit. He said the Spirit itself. Because the Spirit there is not so much the person as it is the manifestation. And he said the Spirit. Remember we studied those 21 manifestations of the spirits of God, of Jesus and the Holy Ghost. And here it is, that Spirit that's bearing witness with our spirit. What's he bearing witness? He's telling you. He's confirming in you. He's agreeing with you that you are the child of God. You are the child of God. That's good. Look at 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Poor Eric. Huh?
But they're in the light traffic.
Honey, they said they was creeping up on exit 180. There must have been a wreck behind us. That light traffic ain't that bad. You can get through it. You can get through it. So, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. What did Jesus tell them Pharisees? He said, search the scriptures, for in them, in the scriptures, you think you have eternal life. And they, the scriptures, are they that testify of me. He said, them scriptures will tell you about me. If you want to know whether you're saved or not, get in that book. Here he says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. He said, examine yourself. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to slow down tonight and examine. I would venture to say, Mama, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I would almost be willing to bet anything or any amount of money that I have, if we was to get real honest, I mean just real honest, and we didn't care about what other people thought, what other people said, what other people was doing. But if we got real honest and we could pull the entire so-called church together. I'm talking about all across America, all across Davie County, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, all across America, from here to California. If we could get them in a place and just ask the simple question, how many of you are plagued with doubts and fears? How many of you from time to time has had doubts and fears? If people was to be honest, and I'm going to be real, real conservative on this, but if people was to be honest and tell the truth and not lie, I would venture to say at least 98%, and I'm being real conservative, at least 98% of the people, every so-called child of God in America would probably raise their hands and say, I have faced and dealt with fears and doubts in my life. Out of the entire so-called flock, I believe probably 98% would have to confess, I have doubted. Doubted. Well, the Bible says that we were to examine ourselves and see if you're in the faith or not. Examine yourself. How are we going to do that? How am I going to examine myself? How? Because I know how wicked I am. I know how deceitful I am. So how am I going to do this? The Bible says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. So if you do have eternal life, you'll find it in the Bible. That's why we say around here time and time again, we talk about Bible salvation. Because we ought to always be able to put our finger on some verses in that Bible and say, that's how I know I'm saved. Not just because the Bible says so. Not because the grace of God just saved my soul. But we're to be able to put our finger on some verses through that blessed book, because we've examined ourselves and we've searched the scriptures. And we're to be able to say, right there is evidence that I've been born again. That's proof that I've been born again. There's a scripture that proves that I've been born again. I base my salvation on the Word of God. And we're to be able to put our finger on it. We want to look at some of that tonight. We want to look at some of the things that causes doubt tonight. He said, examine yourself. And if people was to be honest, most people have doubted. Most people just have. And so if you will, let's look at number one. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Galatians 3, 1. Let's see what might cause some doubt in our life. He said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Now he's talking to some people here, ladies and gentlemen, that was at Calvary when Jesus died on the cross. These people seen the Son of God. These people seen God hang on that cross. They seen Jesus be made sin for them. They seen all that. They seen the malefactors rail on him. They seen the crowd cheering against him. They seen everything that went down. And here they are. Paul said, "What hath bewitched you?" I mean, man, y'all had as good a testimony, as good a witness. Y'all got it as good as anybody in the world's ever had it. But somewhere, somehow, you've got off track. You've started having you're bamboozled. You've been bewitched. You're starting to doubt. You're plagued with fears. Paul said, "What is it? You've been to Calvary. You've seen Calvary. You've seen Jesus with your own eyes. And here y'all are doubting and settled down in fears. What's wrong with you? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth?" My goodness. "Before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit?" These people were saved. These people were saved. They begun this thing just right. But Paul said, somehow, some way, you've got off track, and here you are living in doubt and fear. You've been bewitched. You've been fooled. You've been derailed. You've been bamboozled. You've been deceived. What happened? I say it in here all the time. If you'll go on and study this, Paul said, if anybody or an angel preach any other gospel other than what we've preached, let him be accursed. He said, damn his soul to hell. He said, I don't care if it's an angel. If an angel descends and comes down here and mounts the pulpit and adds to the gospel or takes away from it, damn his soul to hell. You don't listen to another gospel. The gospel is what the Bible says it is. You don't add to it. Here's what Paul's trying to tell them. You have listened to another gospel, and because of false doctrine, you've got messed up. And I've said it 1,000 times in here. False doctrine will make you doubt. And that's what happened to these people in Galatia. They began to listen to other gospels. A preacher saying things they wasn't saying. Did the witness, whether it was a preacher, whether it was a Sunday school teacher, whether it was a testimony on the job, somebody that knocked on your door, what was it that created a doubt in your mind or in your soul? I mean, because somewhere along the lines, this false doctrine crept in. And it may have come through a preacher. It may have come through a teacher. It may have come through a door knocker. I don't know. Maybe somebody on the job just saying some stuff that ain't accurate. I told my wife just down there at the house that you every once in a while you can hear a preacher say something about living in sin. And man, you get off in that sin and it'll mess you up. Add to it or take away from the gospel, this can cause doubt. According to Titus 3:5, God's not interested. Oh, I like that. According to Titus 3:5, God is not interested. Listen real good to this. According to Titus 3:5, God's not interested at what you did to get saved. He's not interested in what you did. What God's interested in is what he did to get you saved. That's what God's interested in. God is interested in, boy, we got all these little doctrines and ideas and theories that people have thrown out there. God's not interested in what we're doing to get saved. He's interested in what he did to get us saved. Tell you what he's interested in, how we responded in what he done. What have you responded? How have you responded to what Jesus did? That's why I get so sick and tired of hearing, well, I accepted Jesus Christ. Well, good for stinking you. Huh? Good for you. Let's pat you on the back. You big shot, you accepted Jesus Christ. I don't care if you accepted Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ done everything in the world for me and you. How did you respond to him? Broken, contrite. Did you come to him with a repentant heart? Did you come to him broke and humble before him? Did you come to him clean? I tell you, man, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I'm afraid, Steve, we got people that's hiding their sin and they're coming to Jesus. and they're praying prayers, and they're going back to their seats, and they're, listen, church, they're living in doubt all their life. I told Stephanie, I believe last night, that we were sitting in a church, and I was sitting on the second row right there. Zach was on the outside. I was right beside of him, right across the aisle, and it was two aisle. It was one aisle right down the center, and the pews came over, and then those pews came over, and it was about a 4-foot aisle between them. We sat right there, and there was a couple little girls sitting over there, 8, 9 years old, and they played, literally braided their hair and stuff the whole time during church. I mean, just kind of a distraction they played so much, Michael. During the invitation, they all got up and just played around the altar and went down there, and the preacher began to, you know, get serious, and he was wanting to get one of them saved, and, you know, he started calling me down there, and I wouldn't move, and he was trying to get Zach to come, and he wouldn't move, and he kept calling us, and we just kept acting like we were praying. I had my head bowed. I said, I'm not praying with that little girl. And some guy came up there and he began to pray, and then I come out of my little fake prayer mode. And you can say whatever you want to. I'm not going to go up there. And that's the only way I know to get out of it somehow. I was just going, hey, sir, I'm not going. And there that man was with that little old girl, and she's up on the altar, Steve, chewing gum. So I'm not exaggerating this 1 ounce. She's up chewing gum, twiddling her hair, looking around, seeing who all's looking, and he's praying for her. He looked there and said, did you get saved? She said, no. Sammy said, or the preacher said, pray again. Begin to pray. And there that little girl was, twiddling her hair, and I mean playing the whole time. And that man was praying, and that man said, did you get saved? And she said, uh-huh. Boy, they jumped her up and said, she got saved. And everybody come hug her neck and shake her hand. Am I exaggerating one drop? I'm probably leaving some of this sick junk off, ain't I? Steve, I said it in my heart. I said, here's what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to find that little girl, and I'm going to look her in the eyes. If I had to put my hands on her shoulders and go, little girl, you didn't get saved last night. You didn't get saved. You sat up on that altar and you chewed your bubble gum and you twiddled your hair and you looked around at everybody and you looked at that man. You didn't no more give a flip, little girl. You're going to die and go to hell in that little profession. God, wouldn't you know it? They called that meeting off. I never seen that girl again. Never seen her again. They called it off after that night. The weather wouldn't permit us to go the next day or the next day. It ended up being so bad that they ended up canceling the whole meeting. And there that little old girl got to walk away, made that profession. You know what, church? She'll probably live in doubt all her life. She'll probably have to run to that altar. And there'll be some preacher go, yeah, but don't you remember that night up there at that camp meeting? You went up there and that man prayed. And they'll settle up. Listen, friend. People are plagued with this stuff. That's what we're up against. That's why people have to deal. Because it's not real. It's a false. It's a false. Brother Clayton said it's farce. It's a farce religion. It's fake. Fake profession. Fake possession. False gospel. God's not so much interested in what you did. He's interested in what he did. This is why I say that. Because Titus said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's about what he did. It's about how you responded to what he did. Let's go. I got way too bogged down. Let's go to Romans 6:12. False doctrine will make you doubt. Romans 6:12. Somebody read that.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof.
Good. What else will make you doubt? Letting sin reign in your body. Letting sin. Living in sin will make you doubt. Living in sin. Now listen, let me get this straight real quick. I want you to listen. If you don't hear everything tonight, please get this. with whatever else it is that you get, because this can get confusing. There'll be a way somehow that some of this can get twisted up between my mouth and your ear, and it won't just be just right. So listen to what I'm going to say. If you think in any area of this lesson that might be you, then try it. There's no fear. There's no doubt. There's no problem. I don't have a problem with somebody sitting in here. Listen to me. I don't have a problem with you sitting in here lost, thinking, well, maybe it's just sin in my life that's got me doubting. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with you sitting there thinking, well, if I get the sin out, maybe the doubt will be gone. I don't have a problem with you thinking that. I don't have a problem with you thinking, well, if I start rightly dividing that word in my private time, maybe the doubts will be gone. I don't have a problem with you thinking, well, I've got some doctrine messed up, and if I just get that doctrine straight, my doubt will be gone. Hey, listen, friend, because if that's what it is, please pray unto God that you get your doctrine right. Because if that will settle your doubts, more power to you. And if the sin is the problem, and you go out there and you confess and you repent and you get those sins right and that settles your doubt, more power to you. Thank God. But you know what? If number one ain't the problem and number two ain't the problem, then you can get all the doctrine right in the world and you still gonna have doubts. You can get all the sin out of your life that you ever dreamed of having, but if you ain't saved, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be times where you still, it's still, and you'll have to be honest with yourself and go, my God, I've confessed my sin, I've repented of my sin, man, I've got this thing clean, there's nothing in there that I know about whatsoever, but I'm still plagued with this now. Well, it ain't sin then, but it ain't going to hurt you to get it clean anyway, is it? It won't hurt you. It won't hurt. It won't hurt to get the sin out. I'll be honest with you, if there's any sin in there, you're to get it out. Whether that's what's plaguing you or not. Because it's going to plague you whether you know it or not. Here's what he said in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, if sin is the problem, and sin will cause doubt. You remember Brother Herbert was in here preaching? You remember that? Remember he said he got saved? And I'm talking about a good old man of God. He's holy, friend. I mean, man, I'm telling you, there was holy in here that night. One of those nights he was here, he got real good. Man, he got talking about getting all that sin out of his life. How God, and you talking about rough, he was rougher than a codger. I'm telling you, man, he was rough. And when he got saved, God started changing things immediately. And if you remember, he said he battled them cigarettes. Remember that? Battled them cigarettes. He said, man, I couldn't get them cigarettes. I couldn't lick them cigarettes. I couldn't beat them cigarettes. He said, man, I started even wondering, am I even saved? That sin had it. Huh? You remember that? He said, man, I'm telling you, I'm just telling you, sin will make you doubt. Well, I tell you one thing. He said he got that thing settled, hallelujah, when that sin got gone. I tell you that. Amen. That's the only thing it was. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Number one, false doctrine, a false gospel will make you doubt. Number two, sin will make you doubt. He said, examine, that's what we're doing. We're examining ourselves. We're examining this thing, seeing what makes people doubt. Because people doubt. 2 Peter 1:9. Man, we're moving along. Y'all must be listening good. Eric, glad y'all finally made it, buddy. Beloved, I'll call you something besides buddy in front of everybody. Hey, let me ask y'all a question. Would you believe that you could get so far from God that you forgot you even got saved? Would you believe that you can get so carnal-minded that you can forget God even saved you? Believe that. But be careful now. Listen to what 1 Peter or 2 Peter said. Listen to what he said. But he that lacketh these things. Let's go back and see what he's lacking. And besides this, give it all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But watch this. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's something. That you can get so far and you can get so distant that you can forget all about what God's even done for you. You don't think that'll make you doubt? Listen to me. How would this happen? You don't have to go real far, Michael. You can probably bear witness with this. If you can get out there on the job and you just start laughing at a couple dirty jokes, and then you start listening to some off-color talk, and then somebody starts making some filthy, all you got to do is laugh at the first one and kind of chuckle at the next one. Next thing you know, man, you're just right along with them. You're going along with everything. Hey, man, next thing you know, you liable to be telling some of them tales. You liable to be saying some of them off-color remarks. There's no telling. And then before you know it, you've got so far that you've forgot all about what God's done for you. I know people that's been there. They're not bad people. Not bad people. I just know people that's got there. I know I've seen people drift and drift to the point where they forgot all about what God done for them. Man, I'm telling you, they had to call back to their remembrance to things. And all they can do is just see everything is just right here. They can't see afar off. They can't see the big picture. All they can see is just right here, right here. Cannot even remember what God done for them. Boy, you're talking about having a problem. That'll cause you to doubt. You get so far from God, ladies and gentlemen, you break fellowship with Him, and you get out there and you just get carnal minded. Listen to me, that'll make you begin to doubt. And I'll tell you, fears will settle in on you. Let's go real quick, and I'm done. John chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 10. False doctrine, twisting the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, will create doubts. Living in sin will create doubts. Getting away from God, just drifting, will create doubts. What is doubt? It's the opposite of faith, isn't it? It's the opposite of faith. Verse 24 of John 10 says this. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? They asked, how long you going to make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Now here's people, y'all, that is literally walking and talking and eating and living with Jesus, and they're doubting. That's pretty astounding. That's amazing to me. That you can be that close, that you can have that kind of a walk and still doubt that that's the Son of God. You know what I say? I say they're missing the faith of Christ. Right. Right. Because only God can give you the faith that He is the Son of God. We all can say it. Stephen can say it. Gracie, we could teach her to say it. But only God can give you the faith to believe it. That's that gift of faith in Ephesians 2:8. Then he said, Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. How about that? They're not believing. Why are they doubting? Because they don't believe. It's the opposite of faith. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. The works bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my, you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep listen, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Hallelujah. Son, that's just good. My sheep hear my voice. I like it. They know His voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. Now, before I get buried down right there, because this probably the main reason people have doubts. Let's flip over to Jeremiah 17. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, the Bible is so good. Verse 9 says this, Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the devil has to bow to our deceitful heart. The devil has to give way to our deceitful heart, and he confesses, your heart is more wicked than I. It's amazing, isn't it? And desperately wicked. Who can know it? I don't even understand, ladies and gentlemen, neither do you, how wicked a lost heart can be. Can't even grasp that in my mind. If I had all of eternity, I couldn't put it all together. Just how wicked my heart really is. Or the heart of the lost man. God said, I, the Lord, search the heart. Thank God he does, because can't nobody else. Everybody else tries, but nobody can do it. I try the reins even to give. Hey, listen, I'm going to say this. I was talking about this along the lines in here one night, Michael, and I was talking about how people follow the heart. People follow, well, I just felt it in the heart. It just felt right in my heart. And I thought, man, you know, just how we're controlled with emotions, and that's how far we'll go. And it was right, set right in that area. We were standing right in that area, and an individual come up to me and my wife and said, boy, this is just something that's in my heart. I can just feel it. It's right in my heart. Well, about 6 months passed, and every bit of that was going out the window. Do you understand and remember what I'm talking about? I'm trying to be discreet, trying not to embarrass, but it was amazing that, oh, this is what's in my heart. Then all of a sudden, what was in their heart misled them and deceived them, and it blew up and it went south. And everything that they was putting all their stock and confidence in just ended up going topsy-turvy. And they're no longer here, and I wish they were here, but I just thought, and I looked at my wife and I said, I just got done talking about following your heart. Can't follow this thing, man. A lost man better not follow his heart and end up in hell somewhere. He said, I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now, I said a while ago, and I'm trying to hurry, but I said a while ago that, when you start talking about doubt, people in their mind, their heart, that heart is that, it's not that organ that's pumping blood through you. That heart is that inner man. It's that innermost being. It's who you are. It's what you are. It's where your emotions and thoughts and all that stuff comes from, where they meet down within you, that deepest person that you are. God said, I know who that is down in there. Nobody else can see it but me. And I said a while ago, sin can make it out. False doctrine can make it out. I was talking about breaking fellowship and just losing sight of what God's done for you can make it out. You want to know how deceitful our heart is, Miss Holly? Our heart is so deceitful that our heart will say, yeah, that's my problem. And our heart will take us to the place and go, yeah, that's our problem. We just need to get back in cahoots with God. We just need to get back to that first love. We just need to, and hey, friend, I'm all for it. Try it. Give it a whirl. Go for it. Try that. Praise God. And if it works, let me say once again, more power to you. But don't let your heart deceive you. Because I'll be honest with you, if you end up doing that, and man, you've tried to return to that first love, and man, you're right where you think you ought to be, and you're still sitting in a place of doubt. We've done went through false doctrine, we've done went through sin, we've done went through the distance. Let me tell you what's left. You're just flat out lost. That's the only thing that's left. You're just flat out lost. And I say, man, you ought to try it. Thank God. Do try to get closer to God. Do get rid of the sin in your life. Do write the divine the scriptures. But even after you do all that and you're still sitting there and you're plagued with these fears and doubts and these questions, hey, listen, friend, that's the good Holy Ghost of God telling you that you're lost. Because you've got everything else. There's nothing left in this Bible to examine. There's nothing left in this Bible to blame it on. There's nothing left in this Bible to take a look at. We've looked at every reason, every excuse that the Bible offers for a person to ever have a doubt in their heart and mind. Many times when the Word of God is preached, the Spirit will search the heart. Remember I said a while ago, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Spirit will search your heart, and it is displeased, ladies and gentlemen, with unbelief. The reason people sit in church, we're struggling back here. Somebody help. There's a key up top, I believe, on top of that door jamb. We're having to take a church break because one of the kids got locked in the bathroom. I love it. Zach, get that key up there and see if you can help her. I mean, it's probably okay if she's in there. And if Isaiah's in there, he probably going to stop the sink up and get in there and splash around a little while. Whip her while you're in there. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Please don't. Not on my behalf. A lot of times, see, here's what happens, and I'm done. I've got one more passage of Scripture. A lot of times you'll sit in church, ladies and gentlemen, and the doctrine is sound. The gospel is straight. The Word of God is not being twisted or turned. You're not living in any unconfessed sins. As far as you know, man, everything's out of your life. As far as you know, you've not went out there and you're not distanced yourself from God Almighty. You're here. You're trying to be faithful in your home. You're trying to do the right thing. Listen, when the Word of God is being preached at that point, that Holy Ghost just took a spotlight and He begins to search the hearts of man. God said, I search the heart. I try those reins. He takes that Word and He starts shining it down in people's hearts. See, there's this thing that's called doubt at that point because there's a spirit that's searching our spirit, searching our soul. And here's what he finds through the preaching of God's Word. He finds unbelief. He finds unbelief here. He finds unbelief there. He's looking. He knows the heart. Our hearts told us we believe. Our hearts convinced us that's how wicked, that's how deceitful that it is. It's guaranteed us. Man, we can stand and tell you how much we believe. Look with me, if you will, please, in John 16, and we're done. Last scripture. John 16. Verse 8 says this. And when he, who? The Comforter, who? The Holy Ghost. Jesus is leaving. He's telling his disciples, he's telling his followers, look, I'm going to go, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send another Comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. He's going to abide with you forever. He'll guide you. He'll teach you. He'll lead you. He'll do everything in the world that you possibly need. And then he says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me. You want to know what happens, ladies and gentlemen, while people sit in Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches and have doubt because the doctrine ain't being twisted, sin ain't being prevalent, fellowship ain't being broke. Can I tell you why? Because the Holy Ghost has come and He's reproving the world of sin. He's shining the spotlight of heaven in our soul and He's showing us there's unbelief, there's unbelief, there's unbelief. And the only reason that's happening is because we're lost, we're lost, we're lost, we're lost. and the Holy Ghost wants us to see that it's not a sin problem. It's not a doctrine problem. It's not a fellowship problem. It's a lost and dying and going to hell problem. That's why we have doubts. That's the largest reason in your Bible why there's doubts, because of the sin of unbelief. That Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, through the preaching of God's Word, thank God, has taken that Word and shining it in their heart. He's searching the heart, and He's looking down in there, and He's seeing unbelief, and He's bringing it to your attention. And then you're sitting there going, well, man, I'm saved. I prayed a prayer, and the Holy Ghost is going, yeah, but you don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yes, I do believe. No, my Father, He's never give you the faith to believe. Because when He does, that Bible can be preached, and the Holy Ghost will never, never, never convict you of that unbelief again. Man, when Jesus Christ puts His faith in a man, listen, it settles it once and for all. When Jesus Christ puts His faith in a man, there's no more doubt. There's no more fear. All of those are relieved, thank God. All the pressure's off. I'm telling you, man, all that stuff's behind you. And you can sing those old songs of blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. One more time. One more time. Let's go. Right back. Isaiah 32. Lied to you and told you that was it, but I got to finish up where we started. Isaiah 32:17 says this. This is what happens, ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus Christ puts His faith in a man. And this is what happens. This is what happens, ladies and gentlemen, to a saved person when the Word of God's being preached. I mean, man, when God is a moving and He's a drawing sinners. I'm telling you, conviction is thick. You're sitting over there as a child of God, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. Not turmoil, not trouble, not doubt, not fear, peace. And the effect of it, the effect of righteousness, there'll be a quietness and assurance till the service is over. Going to be assurance, the Bible says, forever. Be assurance forever. It's good, ain't it? And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Ain't that a blessing? Thank God, church. Let me tell you this. Our fears are coming from false doctrine. They're coming from sins. They're coming from broken fellowship. And ultimately, they're coming from just being lost without God. That's right. That's why people fear. That's why people fear. That's the only things you'll find in your Bible. Why people, He said, examine yourselves. Why do I fear? Why do I have doubts? What is it? Well, my doctrine ain't messed up. I ain't living in sin. I ain't really broke no fellowship. I'm doing my dead level best. Gets down there to it, say, man, I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm lost. But I'll challenge you. I will, congregation. I'll challenge you. Try it. Get in that book and rightly divide it. I challenge you. Get all the sin out of your life. I challenge you. Get as close to God as you can. Get everything out from between you and Him, right? Nothing between me and my Savior. But if you're still sitting over there with those doubts plaguing your heart and your mind, you better come to the realization that God sent the good Holy Ghost from heaven to stir your soul and show you you're lost and you need a Savior. Amen. You better come to grips with it. Those are the things, ladies and gentlemen, that makes people doubt. Father, we thank You for this night. Lord, I understand I'm just a feeble-minded man, God, and I've made a very weak stab at this tonight. But God, You can take and do wonders with it. And I pray, God, that You'd bless this simple thought, and I pray, God, that You'd honor it, and God, that You'd help the people of this congregation grow in grace and knowledge and truth. Help us, dear God, to draw closer to You. I pray, God, for the lost that's in here, God, that they'd be saved. Lord, in Your time, dear God, I don't want to push. I don't want to pull. I don't want to rush. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to get out of line. I don't want to have anything to do with it except what you tell me to do. And I pray, God, that you'd do what only God can do and let us get out of the way. We love you and we thank you, God, for what you're going to do in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If y'all don't mind.